Well, good morning, Fox River. Whether you're a tender here in Waukesha or over in Muskego down in Waterford, again, we're just so glad to have you a part of what God has for us in this greater series going on. If you're new here at Fox River, we certainly want to extend belonging here as well. Stop by next, and we talk a little bit about the heart of God, the heart of Fox River, and as those hearts, you know, your heart aligns there, you just find out, like, now I know why I feel the way I do about this. Would love to have you as a part of that as well. I want to start out with just a couple of strong assertions, but I think everybody's going to be pretty comfortable with them. But I make those to kind of bring us into other territory that you may be less comfortable. In fact, you may be uncomfortable in. We never do that, you know, make people uncomfortable for a shock factor or a gotcha factor. Only reason we'd ever do that is to try to help in avoiding some potential train wrecks that could be taking place in our lives. You know, psychological train wrecks, spiritual train wrecks, personal train wrecks that way. We always want to be as prepared as we can against those, but also today that we would be able to receive this greater hope that Jesus desires for each and for every one of us to be recipients of. So, first statement I just want to come out of the gates with would be this, that hope is one of our greatest needs. I don't think there's really any debate about that. The top five needs that we would have would include that of peace, happiness. We've talked about love, today hope, and we have yet to be able to talk about purpose that way. When you have hope, you look into the future and you're going, I can do this. Sometimes it's like I'm looking forward to this, in fact. You may have difficulties, you may have some problems, you may have some struggles, you know, along the way that way, but you're going, we can make it. Without hope, it's a totally different scenario, isn't it? In fact, without hope in our lives, the future, it's depressing. It's bleak. Looking at it, it's like, I just don't have any strength. I don't want to go forward. You know, I'm not looking forward to tomorrow at all. If I were to ask you, how many have experienced a time in your life that you felt hopeless? No hope at all. Can I see your hands? Wow, yeah. Those are difficult. Those are bleak times, aren't they? And I never want to downplay or underestimate the potential of what that could bring into our lives. One of the worst times to make any decisions is when we're in that time of hopelessness that way. No question. Hope, one of our greatest needs. Second assertion, I think everybody comfortable with this would agree with me here, and that is that with God comes hope. We look at simple phrase, and if we were just to flip it or to invert it, rather than with God comes hope, without God, we would say that hope is lost. You know, without God, don't have that hope in my life anymore. Now, if you were to take that statement, without God, hope is lost, and tomorrow, just kind of put it out there. If you're in high school, you put it out there. Teacher, classmates, if you're in college, you put that out there. At work, if you were just in, you know, whatever your workplace would be, if you just kind of put that out there, you know, without God, hope is lost. If you're in a bar, if you put that out there, you know, at a game or something like that, you might get some pushback. Agreed? I mean, you could get a little bit of pushback. I'm like, I'm not sure about that. In fact, if that conversation then began to pick up, you might even feel as if you were losing some ground, at least in the short term there. But if a person has had much experience yet in life, the further life goes on, the more that gets just kind of like, yeah, I guess that is a true thing. Because people that have just had hope in themselves, the longer you go in life, and if all you got is hope in yourself, you know what you find out? It ain't going so good, is it? If you put your hope in science, or you put your hope in success, and you get there, all of a sudden you find out, like, you know what, it just doesn't deliver like I thought it would. You put your hope in others, you find out again that hope is this fleeting thing in life. In fact, there is an entire book in the Bible that deals with this. It's called the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, we're not going to go there today, but it's a book that you might want to read through. It's a tricky book at first, because when Solomon writes this book, what he's done is he's actually put together a little bit of an equation. And the equation that he puts together is this. It's kind of like this what-if scenario that he has lived out, played out in his life, and he said, now we've all got to talk about that. And the equation is this. It was life minus God equals. Interesting, right? Life minus God equals. And then what he did is he talked about all of these experiences that he had gone through. Some of those include wealth, success. Nobody had more wealth than Solomon. Nobody had achieved more success than Solomon. But remember the formula? Life minus God. He talked about what it's like to have power. He talked about, you know, to have all the pleasures, you know, that a man, that a woman could desire in their life, to have discovery, to have achievement, to have relationships, to have, you know, scholasticism and education in your life. And having experienced all of these without God, he said, you know what I discover about life? That it's unfair and that it's cruel. How many didn't need the Bible to figure that out? Right? But thousands of years ago, this truth was just, you know, it's being put out there. Solomon said this, with all of these things that have gone on, none of them brought hope in my life. And it's not until he puts God back into the equation, life plus God, that hope, that meaning returns again to it. So if we summarize what we said that hope is one of our greatest needs in the top five. We've said that with God comes hope. Now here's the but. With God comes hope, but, and this is a big but at this point, but many times we just use God. I'm going to put that there. We use God to try to fill our need without really coming to him for relationship, for that which he so longs for us in our lives. And without relationship, without Jesus, you're not going to get to that greater hope. So what I want us to do this morning is to be able to lay out two scenarios, a comparison of greater hope versus what will be most common today, common for us, common for those around us, common in our culture, greater hope versus MTD. And I'll tell you what MTD is in just a second. We all come with what we call a hope tank. So today, if I were to put this up here, every one of us in here has a hope tank. Now, where your hope tank is, the hope in your hope tank right now, is it full, is it empty? We'll get to that part. Jesus' disciples, a couple things we know about them. Gospels make this very clear. They're ordinary people. They were imperfect people. And as was indicative of most people's lives in that day, they just had hard lives. Life was harder back in that day. Jesus comes along, says, we'll talk about the 12. He said to the 12, hey, why don't you come and be with me? And so for the next 3 years, the disciples are with Jesus. Where do you think the disciples' hope tank was after spending 3 years with Jesus? Somewhere around where? Yeah, like right up in here, right? You'd say that their hope tank, it was full. Because with Jesus, seeing the miracles, listening to the teaching, doing some miracles, like, there's where my hope's at. Then he was taken, betrayed, crucified, buried. He was entombed. When Jesus was crucified and buried, what do you think happened to the disciples' hope tank? It looked like this, right? You talk about the bottom falling out. Again, some here have experienced, you know, it's like there is no hope. They looked ahead in life. They saw nothing ahead worth living for. All of their dreams dashed. But on the third day, when Jesus arose. And remember, we started greater on Easter. And we made this statement that Jesus has an Easter blessing that he wants all of us to be recipients of. It's coming out in these, you know, in the greater, these five great needs here. When Jesus rose on the third day and then appeared to his disciples and then spent the next ensuing days with them, then they're, you know, in the filling of the Holy Spirit, all of that. What happened to the empty hope tanks that the disciples had when Jesus resurrected and came to them? Yet there's a word that I want you to use. We'll see this in the scripture in just a minute. It's the word overflowing. Their hope tanks were overflowing. In fact, in the days, months, and years after that, the disciples are going to face some very challenging, very difficult circumstances. They are going to be persecuted for their faith, and their hope tanks continued to overflow. There was nothing that got thrown at them because of where their hope was at that slowed them down at all. In fact, the other disciples and followers in the early church, this was where their hope tank was at. And for hundreds of years, this was the indicative picture of a follower of Jesus. Hope tank that was overflowing. Question. Do you say this is typical of a Christian today? Those that are self-proclaimed Christians, do you think that overflowing hope tank, that's indicative of them today? Yes or no? What happened? Well, one of the things that's taken place, and this will become especially clear for us today, is what we refer to as MTD. These initials, MTD, refer to moralistic, therapeutic deism. Why don't you say this with me, would you? Just the initials, ready? MTD. Ready? And so MTD, and then it goes stands for, ready? MTD stands for, say it with me, moralistic therapeutic deism. Don't you feel like more intelligent just having said that? Like, oh yeah, yeah, that's what I think too, right? Now, as the name suggests, you got this God factor that's all about, you know, it's like, it's be good to feel good with God that's in the picture. So more specifically, here's what MTD is. MTD would be the belief that God wants people just to be good and nice, that the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about yourself. That's MTD. Now, we'll do a little bit more about this. First of all, if you're writing madly just to get this all down here, don't worry. If you flip over your handout sheet, it's all there on the bottom. Little footnote there, so no worries about that. And I did that, so you're going to be able to take it with you because I know there's going to be a lot of conversation, a lot of thought that's going on about that. Okay, so that said, you don't have to worry about writing this all down. Think about this idea. God just wants for people to be good and nice. And that the central goal of life, it's all about you. It's to be happy and to feel good about yourself. Now, don't confuse this with greater happiness, because Jesus said there, you know, there is that need that we had. But this is talking about, hey, it's all about you, and God is just all about you feeling good. All right? Goes on a little bit. God does not need to be particularly involved in our lives, except when there's a problem that he needs to solve or fix for us. And that good people go to heaven when they die. That's moralistic, therapeutic deism, or MTD. Does this sound familiar? Do you know anybody that goes like, yeah, I know people that's what they believe? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand about that. But what we have here has become now, this is the current thinking. This is like the spiritual thinking in our culture, not only in the United States, but kind of like in, you know, in the Western world today. And that can be a problem. Now, one of the problems you get with this, other than the fact that it's like completely contrary to what the Bible says, that the problem that MTD brings with it is it has this tendency that it wants to inoculate us against God. It wants to give you just enough God, you know, to try and say like, well, I can create some hope in my life without having what it really, you know, spiritually, what God hopes that we are going to be experiencing from him. Now, inoculation. If I were to ask you, and I will ask you, how many of you have been inoculated against something, particularly? You've been inoculated against measles, been inoculated against polio. How many had an inoculation? All right. You got an inoculation, you got a small dose of something. The purpose of was to keep you from getting what? Yeah, the bigger, right? You get a little bit to keep you from the big, right? MTD wants to inoculate people against God. In fact, that's the horrific effect that's occurring today. There's a book called Soul Searching. In this book, it is the most, to date, in-depth study with regards to religious and spiritual lives of teenagers. Again, Western world that's taken place here. One of the takeaways from this book, and it's a great, great research piece, is this. Have you heard that there's a high percentage of high schoolers when they go to college that they just kind of abandon their faith? Have you heard that before? Yeah, okay, you've heard that. And people want to postulate all these different reasons. Well, the book would really say they don't just abandon it, but they just kind of, they take whatever they've got and they put it in a lockbox. They put it away, but it doesn't have any real effect on them. Why? Because what high schoolers are going to college with is an MTD faith. They've picked up this moralistic, therapeutic deism, and when you get to school, and because it's all about me anyways, and God's there if I ever need him, and if I need you, I'll call on you, but otherwise, hey, I'm just living it that way. That's why their lives reflect what it is that they reflect, and spiritually, they're stating what it is that they're staying that way. One other takeaway from this book, I think this is an important takeaway. Do you know what the number one, by far, number one influence on teenagers today spiritually is? Number one. Influences them more than anything else spiritually. Want to take a guess? It's their parents. Now, some of you are like, listen to what he's saying right now. Right? I mean, that's what you're thinking because like, my kid's not getting it or I'm not seeing that. I'm not saying they're letting on at that way. But all the research says that what has influenced your teenager most spiritually speaking is you. Now, if you as a parent, basically all you've got is an MTD type of faith, what are your kids going to get? High, high, high percentage. You're just going to pass on to them what you got, which explains why there's this growing MTD in culture today. The moralistic, therapeutic deism or idea of God, right? But if you are living your faith out, you know, not a big hypocrite at home, not saying you're perfect because we all know. None of us are going to be perfect parents. We're going to make mistakes, but we acknowledge when we do, but we share what we have. If you've got a living faith, if you've got a growing faith relationship with Jesus and you're sharing that, that is going to have influence like nothing else at home. So I want to encourage you just to continue. Don't be weary in well-doing, as the Bible says, because you will ultimately see fruits that are going to come from that. So we've talked about this. There's this MTD factor that is just prevalent all around us. What do? You offer greater hope. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about this right now together, shall we? Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15, if you're going to use the Pew Bible, page 1765. If you're using it on your phone or iPad, I want you to call that up right now, especially if you can make notes in it. Again, you'll hear me saying, I love this passage of Scripture. Now, I say that about a lot of passages of Scripture. But this in particular has so much help. condensed in such a small and clear way. It is worth putting a star beside in your Bible or in the front if you're using a paper Bible, right on the front part of it, Romans 15:13 in the word hope there. If you can take electronic notes and whatever you're using, but you know, make that notation in there. Verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may have overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at the screen with me for just a second, a couple things I've pointed out here. Look at how God is identified, the God of hope. He says, I want you to know me for who I am. I am the God of hope. And I want you to, here's that operative word, I want you to overflow with hope in your life. The God of hope wants to bring an overflowing hope to us. Now, as you're reading, you may have picked up on this. We're talking about these five great needs. We talked about the need for joy, for happiness in our life. We've talked about the need for peace. We've got the need for hope. We got three of the five just being referred to in this one passage alone. How do you get it, though? How do you get this overflowing hope? Do you see it here? Let me underline it for you. Underline it on your handout, if nothing else. It says, as you trust in him. Trusting in God is the key. And that's what's going to open up greater hope for us. That which we'll never be able to get by ourselves that Jesus wants us to have. See, trusting is the key to relationship. Trusting is the ongoing key to living it out. Greater hope begins as we open ourselves and trust Jesus. We often refer to this metaphor of a God-shaped hole. All of us start with the same. You know, you have a God, we have this God-shaped hole in us, which, by the way, if you have a God-shaped hole in you, what happens to hope? It just continues to leak out. I mean, you know, you get it and it just continually, you know, flowing out that way. But for those of us with a God-shaped hole, Jesus said, what I have done in coming for you is to provide a way that that will be full through what I have accomplished for you. Now, in particular, John chapter 1, verse number 12 says this, and I put it up here for this reference. To all who receive him, that is Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That is, I am going to bring you into a new relationship with God that you've never had before, a born-again relationship with God that you've never had before. Key word here is believe. Now, our word for believe would be better translated, or as we look at this, we would understand this better with the word trust. Every time you see believe in the New Testament, you could write over it, again, our understanding of to trust. So it doesn't mean to know a fact, but it means to act upon something, to put your trust in it. If you've ever gone parachuting, I went parachuting last year, I did a tandem jump. In a tandem jump, what you do is you strap yourself to somebody who has a parachute strapped to them. And then together, you jump out the door of a plane. So it's this trust exercise. It's way more than, you know, hey, catch me if I fall kind of thing. You know, this is a, you know, 12,000 foot trust, you know, jump that way. If you don't trust either the person you're strapped to, their competency, or the parachute, the mechanism itself, are they going to get you out of that plane door? There is no way in the world if you don't trust that they're going to get you out of that door. But if you trust the person, mechanism itself, then you're going to step or at least allow yourself to be thrown from that plane door and experience that safe landing there. MTD will never fill a God-shaped hole. It's one of the quickest ways, again, just to know, you know, do I have what's real there? But what Jesus said he did, what I did in the cross, what I did in the resurrection, here's what he's saying. Will you trust me? Will you trust me alone? Not what you're doing, not what you can add to it, not anything else, but will you trust that I did everything that was necessary for forgiveness and for you to enter into a new and living relationship with God himself? Do you trust me in that? If so, again, we enter into that relationship and immediately there is a hope in us that we never had before for our future. But hope, it doesn't end with that. See, there's this continuation of living out life, and it comes in that same key. See, the key to all relationships, trust. So Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 tell us this, and it starts out with these words, trust. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding. Think about him. All your ways and he'll guide your paths here. Now, what's Proverbs 3 saying? It's saying this, in trusting God, there are times that I need to go with what God says over with what I'm currently thinking or my own thoughts on the matter. Looks kind of like this. I know God says this. He clearly states a promise. He clearly gives me a statement, you know, that it comes directly from his words. Like, this is what God says. And I go like, oh, this is what God says. But I'm going like, but I'm not so sure about that. I think this, even though God says that. I'm not sure if I do this, how things are going to work out. And we come up with reasons or excuses, right? And we don't go. Now, if we do go, it's because we trust when our mind, you know, when it's like, I'm thinking different than what God's saying. Example. If you're here for the announcements today, first part of the video announcements, you know that we're doing meetings for believers' baptism now. Whether it's believers' baptism, next encounter meeting, or the lake baptism, or, you know, some other time. God has said, Jesus said, for everyone that has put your faith and trust in me, I want you to publicly show it through believers' baptism. Don't confuse that with infant baptism, but this is for, you know, if you, once after you have put your faith and trust in me, show it through believers' baptism. So it's like, oh yeah, okay, I see that. Everybody like, okay, I got that. But I'm not sure I want to do that. Or I'm not sure that I'm ready. Or I'm not, you know, like, what good will it do? Does it get me to heaven? No, it doesn't get me to heaven. Well, why do I need to do it then? And we can come up with all kinds of excuses if we haven't been baptized with believer's baptism, even though we know Jesus said, I want you to do it. And here's the question. Jesus said, will you just trust me? You may not understand all the reason why, but I just want you to trust me. And in fact, believer's baptism is that. It's just a, I trust you, Jesus, kind of response that's there. Now, what you discover is when you trust, that's when you begin to see the fruits of that or more of that working that's taking place in our lives that way. And it applies to, you know, just across the board with, here's the things God says, and he says, will you trust me in that right now? And as our trust goes, so our relationship goes, or it could, you know, if our trust isn't going, you understand that too. So when we talk about greater hope, remember, hope in the Bible is not, I hope so hope. You know, when we talk about hope, a lot of times we're saying, I hope this happens. It's like, I wish it happens. I'd like for this to happen. Wouldn't it be nice if this happens? That's not how the Bible uses hope. The Bible uses hope in this way, confident assurance. It's an assurance based on God, his character, his promises, his word. A confidence assurance that God's going to do this. So greater hope, Jesus says, I want to give you something that gives you this confidence, assurance, and affects your life to give you the hope that you need to go on. One of the reasons that I so love ministries that, you know, that like Grief Share that we do here for those that have lost somebody that they love. Divorce care. Self-explanatory. Celebrate recovery. Addictions and all the problems that they can bring into our lives. It's because people with little or no hope go into these, and almost without exception, they come out the other side with their hope tank again renewed. But don't think that you have to have an extreme going on, because everyday life can drain us of hope. True? Yeah, I mean, it's true. One of the reasons that we do, after every service, we've got friends up here that are willing to do what with people? Yeah, they're just here to pray with people. And sometimes people are like, oh, why do you do that? It's because of what's going on in our lives. And we invite people. There's something going on. You know, you see the problem ahead, or you find your hope beginning to wane a little bit. It's like, we want to pray with you about that. you might be a person here going, I think I could be one of those people. I'd like to pray with people for some of this stuff going on in their lives. And if that's the case, put that on your communication card. We would love to have you join in that team because we have such a growing need of what's going on and taking place here. Because everyday life can deplete our hope. I want to ask you, real quickly, I want you to look at your hope tank. So if you put yours, this is you right now. So you can just put your name, hope tank. You know, this is Guy's hope tank here. Where is your hope tank at today? Now, if you're up here, you go like, my hope tank's probably 80% or better, then you're in the place that Jesus would want you to be. I mean, it could be that, you know, moving toward that overflowing, but you're like at 80% above. If you say, as you've evaluated quickly, you've given yourself a number, I'm probably around 50%. Now, if you're 50%, don't raise your hand. Just listen. If you're at 50%, you're probably not at 50%. If you say you're at 50, you're probably 33 or below. Because we want to overstate when we're at this point going like, I'm okay. When you're just going like, I'm okay with God. You know what you're really saying? I'm really not that, you know, I wish I was okay. That's that wishful thinking line that's here. If you're down here and you just go like, my hope is low, or my hope is depleted, listen careful. So want you to hear these encouraging words. Did you know? Did you know that every person of the Trinity brings hope? God the Father brings hope. Jesus brings hope. The Holy Spirit brings hope. Did you know that every single book of the New Testament speaks of hope? You open up a book in the New Testament, you begin reading, and before long you're seeing words of hope and offers of hope and ways of hope in front of you. I love this. Did you know Jesus' resurrection? It's a catalyst for hope. When you have that understanding, remember Graders and Easter series, we started at that point. You think about Jesus' resurrection, and if you've embraced that, it will get inside you and it becomes, as I said, it's this accelerant for hope that's going on, as well as prayer. It's a catalyst for hope. Grace, it's a catalyst for hope. Look at these words, 2 Thessalonians. May our Lord Jesus himself and God our Father, who has given us his love and through his grace, ceaseless encouragement, and here it is, such sure hope. That term sure, you could write greater right above it. It'd be an accurate translation there. Let me just take us back a second. We've got Jesus bringing hope. We've got the Father bringing hope. Romans chapter 15, remember that passage? Talked about the Holy Spirit who brings hope that way. Every person in the Trinity, they're desiring to bring hope. Why? It's so that we may have encouragement and strength in our life for every good word and deed. To speak words of truth and grace to others. To live out the things that God would have us to do. To be able to face tomorrow. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. If you have, you know, come to this awareness like, I really think that my spirituality is more of an MTD kind of one than having trusted Jesus. Today, Jesus said, are you ready? Are you ready to move from this substitute to the real deal, the real thing? Then trust me today. Trusting is saying our next yes to God. Are you ready to say to God, God, whatever you have for me? Yes. Whatever your next ask is, yes. And your next yes is also a doorway to this hope that God will bring into our lives as we trust him and continue ahead. Would you pray with me to these ends? Thank you, Heavenly Father, not only that you know our needs, these greatest needs, but as you've created us so, you also offer to us a greater fulfillment than we could ever have. if we will just open ourselves up to you. Lord Jesus, I pray for those today that haven't trusted you, wherever they are at spiritually, but they're at the place today of saying, I trust Jesus, what you did for me, your crucifixion, your payment, your resurrection. I trust that alone, completely, for forgiveness and relationship with God. If that's you, then just tell them that in your own words, your own way. But Jesus, I trust you as my Savior now. If that's your prayer, and it's the first time you've prayed that prayer, receiving Jesus, can I ask you just to boldly to lift the hand up in the air proclaiming that? That's me today. Those are always some of those beautiful things we see here. God bless you. For all of us that have received Jesus and come in that way, will you just say now, God, Father, yes. To whatever it is your next ask is, it's yes. I trust you. Tell him. As we experience greater hope, may we live out that in an unmistakable way, Jesus, with your help and grace. Thank you. And everybody in agreement said, Amen. Amen.